Good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Paul. I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. I hope you are doing well today. Thanks so much for joining us here on the DriveCast once again. This past Sunday, continuing in the Uncommon Crown series, we were looking at this moment, this series of events that takes place in a little under 2 years, a year after Jesus's birth. And we know that from some verses down at toward the end of chapter 2, but there's a lot of things that are happening here involving several key characters or figures. And so you have these wise men, we refer to them as the Magi. They have come from the East, they're Gentiles, they're non-Jews, but clearly they have, whether they read the prophecies of Daniel, which is a theory as to how they knew, however it is they came to believe in the Messiah, the king of the ultimate king of the Jews, they show up in Jerusalem and they say, "We saw his star." And again, whatever that star was a literal star or whether, you know, it was something else, something from God clearly led these men to Jerusalem, and their heart and their desire was to worship Jesus. And so that's one group. The second sort of character here is Herod. Herod is the ruler of Jerusalem appointed by the Romans. Herod cares about Herod. Herod cares about his power and the continuation and the growth of his power. So that's the second character. And the third character or set of characters here is really the priests and the scribes. And so the way all three of these sort of interact with one another, you have the Magi showing up in Jerusalem to Herod saying, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star and we wish to worship him." And Herod's response is really terror. Because again, Herod cares all about Herod. And if the king of the Jews has been born, that means his role and his place on the quote-unquote throne of Israel is in question and is being challenged. And so what Herod does is he goes to the priests and the scribes and he says, "Hey, where is the Messiah going to be born?" And they would have known, the priests and the scribes, that is, that there was a report from these foreigners that Jesus had been born, that the Messiah had been born. In verse 2 of chapter 2, it tells us all Jerusalem was troubled. And so the priests and the scribes, they tell Herod Bethlehem. That's where he's going to be born. And Bethlehem's a sleepy little town about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And so Herod then tells the Magi this, and he says, "Look, report back to me once you find this baby. Search for him diligently." And so they go out. The star leads them to the exact location of Jesus, and in encountering God in the flesh, the Messiah, the anointed one who came to take away the sins of the world, their response is worship, which is exactly the right response. And as I was sort of zooming out here and asking the question and really seeing these interactions, we really get three responses to the birth of the Messiah. And the way I said it on Sunday was that Christmas requires a response. When we're faced with the reality that Jesus has been born, we are then forced to make a decision on how it is we're going to respond to that news. The king has been born, the king is alive. How then do you respond? In the three responses we get, the first sort of option, if you will, the first potential response we could have upon hearing about the birth and the resurrection of Jesus is really fear that expresses itself or reveals itself as self-preservation. And we see that really in Herod. Herod is all about, again, preserving Herod's power. And what Herod does when the Magi don't return to him because they've been warned in a dream not to, what he does is goes ballistic. And what he does is has children 2 years and younger murdered in Bethlehem. Horrific, horrific thing. But in Herod, it's really fear outworking itself or revealing itself as self-preservation. And while we would never do something like that, we do seek to self-preserve, fueled by fear at times, in response to Jesus, even within Christian circles. How often have we made that joke of, "Well, I'm not going to say that because then God will make me do it. I'm not going to start praying for courage because then God will give me a situation that will teach me courage. I'm not really going to invest in this situation because I'm scared what God might ask me to do." And deep down, we know that God asking us to do things, God leading us, is what is greatest for our soul. But yet in fear, I believe what we often do is we hold ourselves back from God because we're scared what he might ask us to do. And what that really is, it is a form of self-preservation that is preventing us to stepping into all God has for us to do for his purposes and for his glory. The second potential option I think we have in response is really pride working itself out in apathy. And I think we see this one in the response of the priests and the scribes. See, the priests and the scribes, they hear this report that the Messiah has been born. Herod, who doesn't care about anything again, but Herod for the seventh time in this little drive cast, Herod comes and asks them, and they're like, oh yeah, Bethlehem. Like, I'm not fast, but I could run to Bethlehem in about 6 hours from, I'm really not fast, about 60 minutes, right, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, about 6 miles, or I could ride a donkey and get there in 20 minutes. And there's no report that they attempt to verify that Jesus really has been born, that the Messiah really has been born. And what that teaches us is that they believe they didn't really need him. In their view, the Messiah's role and job was to come and wipe out their enemies, and a baby couldn't do that. And so like, well, why do we need to go now? Let's wait for him to grow up. He'll get rid of the Romans, then he'll elevate us. It's pride revealing itself as apathy. And I think so often we struggle with this. We say, yeah, you know, I believe in the Messiah, right? But I don't know if I really need him until he's going to do something for me. And so what happens is we don't worship Jesus for who he is. We just wait on Jesus to do something for us, and then we might acknowledge his existence. And I think that's a real struggle for many of us. And what's interesting is the response, the right response to apathy is really faith that leads to worship. And I think we see this response in the Magi, right? The Magi believed that an ultimate king, the Messiah, would be born. They see this star appear, and in faith, they believe it's going to lead them to the Messiah. And in faith, they knock on the door of this little house, and Joseph opens, and they see Mary with the baby, and in their response of all of that faith is worship. And I think that is just such a good reminder for us in this Christmas season. How are we responding to the birth of Jesus? Are we self-preserving out of fear? Do we have apathetic hearts that are ultimately rooted in pride? Or do we have faith overflowing into worship of our King? I want to pray to that end this morning, that we would have faith that overflows into worship as we behold the glory of Christ, and as we are reminded that Jesus was born, that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, and that Jesus lived again so that we might have new life in him. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for your word that teaches us and leads us. Father, I ask this morning that we would be reminded of your glory, of the way in which you provide, of the way in which you ultimately loved us by sending Jesus. Would we have faith in all that Jesus has done and all that Jesus has promised? Father, would that faith lead us to worship and to just adoration over who Jesus is and who he makes us to be through faith in him? Father, lead us today into that, into a faith that leads to worship. We love you. We praise you. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.